Hello, this is Pastor Coleman, the senior pastor there at the Olivet Baptist Church in Los Angeles. Hi, how are you? On December the 28th, 1986, the last Sunday night in the year 1986, I preached a second in a series of sermons, which I have been calling the Sunday Night Lessons for Growing Saints. Last Sunday, I preached about paying attention from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 9, from verse 1. This Sunday, the subject was God's Law, the Rule of Life, taken from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 2. We're going to get right into the message, and I want you to enjoy. God bless you as you continue in this series for growing saints. Are you one of those growing saints? I certainly hope so. But our scripture tonight is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 6. All right, Deuteronomy is that first, second, third, fourth, fifth book of Moses. And I want you to turn there. And as we look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, we started off last week reading the first nine verses, and we were going to take a verse a night. A verse a night. All right. Now, these are the commandments, the statutes, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. All right. All right. So I said, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep his statutes, his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days might be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it might be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, have promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, for the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by thy way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Verses 8 and 9 says, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. In verse 9, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and upon thy gates. We established last Sunday night, when we first started to look at these verses, that these Sunday night lessons for growing saints, I guess we can call this, we established that we would be speaking about Moses giving the law of God to his people, and we are to appropriately take these words as the law of God for us today. If we ever try to analyze and apply these words to just the Jews, and not into us here, well, then we're missing the mark. Last Sunday night, our sermon topic was entitled, Pay Attention, based on verse 1, when Moses was saying that the commandments and statutes and the judgments with the Lord your God command to teach you that you should do them. God is saying to pay attention to what he's saying. Tonight, our subject matter is entitled, God's Law, the Rule of Life. Deuteronomy chapter 6, Jackie. Deuteronomy chapter 6. God's Law, the Rule of Life, which we find in verse 2. Since last Sunday night, God was saying in verse 1, he wants you to pay attention to the commandments and the statutes. And we also identified last week that Moses was setting forth the essentials of the law in terms of the doctrines and how they were to worship. That's what all this is about. The doctrine of God. You shall listen to the Lord your God only. And then he establishes how we're to worship. He spoke of commandments and statutes, and this is very important, because for the next 8 weeks on Sunday night, when I say commandments, I merely mean this: the sum and the substance of all that God has said is his command. What I mean by that, Charles, is that the commandments of God to you are in this book. We are obligated to keep all of that that's in this book, the sum and the substance of all that God says, or what commandments are called. And statutes are basically, that's where I come in. And that's where Brother Frost comes in as chairman of the deacon board. There's where the Sunday school teacher comes in. Because a statute is basically the explanation of what the command is. A statute is the explanation of what God's law is. If it says, thou shalt not kill, well, kill what? We kill chicken and we eat it, right? All right, we kill duck and we eat it. We kill beef. We kill a fly, a flea. So what does it mean when it says, thou shalt not kill? There's where the statutes come in. Thou shalt not kill another human being. Thou shalt not murder him. So commandments is the sum and substance of all that Jehovah God has given man to keep. And the statutes is the explanation of that very same command. As we look at verse 2 of Deuteronomy chapter 6, listen what Moses says to God's children. And this is for us also. That thou mightst fear the Lord thy God to keep all of his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee. And this is the important part. Thou and thy son and thy son's sons all the days of thy life, and that thy days might be prolonged. Now, this is interesting because when we say that God's law is a rule of life, it's not only, Charles, a rule of life for your life, but for your children's life that you don't even have yet. Wow, what are you talking about? I mean, Jackie, from generation to generation, God hasn't changed. Michael and I were talking back in the study there earlier, and it is interesting when you look at people in the 1980s. Sometimes we have a tendency to say, I've changed my mind about life, so therefore, automatically, God has changed his mind. Well, here we see in this verse that God's law is a rule of life. And the first point under this, we cannot worship our master without keeping his rules. It's impossible to worship God without adhering to the book, adhering to what he says. Now, it's possible to play the game. We know that as Christians. It's possible to pretend, but it's impossible to worship him without keeping the rules. Look what it says in that verse, that thou mightest fear the Lord. Now, whenever you see this term fear, it doesn't mean to be afraid of him, because if you're afraid of him, you can never get what? Close to him. It doesn't mean that, well, I'm so afraid of God that I can't worship him because he scares me away. This term, that thou mightest fear the Lord, basically means to reverentially fear him. When I come into his presence, I am in awe and wonder at his creativeness. It's like walking into the White House. Walk into my house, the Black House, I don't care. When you walk into someone's house and someone is the master charge of that house, you fear that individual if he has a white carpet with a sign over the wall saying, do not step on this carpet. You don't arbitrarily go and step on it. But when you come before God, we are fearful of not keeping his blessed commandments. If one doesn't love God, he can't fear him. Now, when it says right here that thou mightst fear the Lord thy God, if you don't love him, you won't fear him. That means that you hold him in no regard. We must hold him in regard. We must reverentially fear him. Secondly, fear is shown by our obedience to God, this reverential fear. If I really, Elizabeth, fear the Lord in a reverential sense, I keep everything that he's told me to do. If I do not reverentially fear him, I can care less about what his dictates say. Now I can come, I can pay my money, I can go through the modes of religion, I can worship, I can sing, I can pray, I can usher, I can work the table, I can fill up the pool for a baptism and wash it out after it's done and not fear the Lord. I'm telling you this. Look what it says in the second part of this verse. It says, to keep all of his statutes and commandments. Now to keep, that's the key. It is difficult for most people to keep them because they do not fear him. When you look at these verses 1 through 9 in Deuteronomy chapter 6, it is a continuous system going on here. Let's back up a little bit. We said pay attention last week.
I want to say this right now because I'm enjoying listening to me. Hi, this is PJ in the year 2017, all the way from 1986 to 2017. Long time, right? I still fear him. Do you? That's the key. Do you fear him like that? Are you in agreement with me towards some of these things that I'm saying about God? Does it make any rational sense to you? Is it logical for us to continue to go on without him? I'm telling you, somebody told me last night, they told me that they're kind of fearful for me because, you know, of my way of helping people, and that it could turn on me, that it could blow up in my face. I fear God more than I fear the fear of what man can do to me. There's a Bible verse. Fret not yourself against evildoers. See, I don't fret myself against people that do evil. I'll protect myself from them, but I don't fret myself. See, that's in believing in God, in the Bible.
Verse 1, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments.
Right.
The Lord has commanded to teach you that you might do them. God is saying, pay attention. Then he breaks it down and says, you know what you should pay attention to? God's law as a rule of life. First of all, you got to fear him.
Yes.
First of all, you've got to fear him. And then you got to keep all of his statutes.
That's it.
You only keep something if it's in the heart.
Yes.
Charles, you can never keep something that's in the head.
Right.
Because you're going to change your mind, but you can never change your heart.
Right.
All right. I've been knowing Michael Deal for 6 years, since the guy was in high school in L.A. My friend now lives in New York, visiting us. Listen, my love for this guy and Lucy loves this guy, we can't change our love for you, Michael. We would be some kind of weird creature. We would say, wait a minute, we don't love him anymore because he doesn't live the way we live. He doesn't do what we do, so we now detest him.
Now, Michael Deal was sitting in the room on that Sunday night because he was a high school student at Los Angeles High, a very bright, articulate young black man. And he was visiting us, and we were coming back to church on that Sunday night in 1986. And I asked Michael Deal to attend with me. He heard me preach God's word. He was right there in the room. On 9/11, years after 1986, Michael Deal was in the World Trade Center when it collapsed, and he was one of the fatalities. The only person that I knew that died in the World Trade Center was Michael Deal, and he was sitting in the church that I pastored, in the congregation, when he heard me preach. Now, if what I said meant absolutely nothing to Michael in 1986, and here it is in 2017. Do you see why I do what I do, people? Do you see why Pastor John continues? I no longer in the morning get up and go to a job. I can't do that. I have a job. I want to get up in the morning and come in this studio and talk to many more of you are listening in to me. Now, I want you to listen to how I finish up with Michael Deal. He is no longer with the living.
That's the same kind of love that you got to have for God. If you love God, Charles, today, you're going to love him 20 years from now.
Right.
If he takes all of your vision, takes your voice, takes one arm and a leg,
yes,
you yet love him.
Yes.
You don't change.
Yes.
That's the key.
Yes.
You are his and he is yours. Therefore, you are to keep his statutes and commandments because there has been a bond between God and man.
Yes.
Not between every man. Not between the man that pretends, but only between the man that cannot pretend. If we keep his commandments and his statutes and his laws, those very same commandments, statutes, and laws does what? They keep us. See, if I keep them, they have a tendency to hold me. If I hold to what God says, he will keep his promise and hold me together. Now, I'm going to give you a good example of that. All chaos, all hell breaks out in your life and in your neighbor's life, Jackie. Let's say a hurricane comes down Haas Avenue and takes everybody's roof off the house, yours too. All your neighbors are going crazy out there running up and down the street, and you're going to be standing right in front of the house doing this. They say, oh, Jackie, come on and cry. I know you want to go to pieces. I know you want to freak out. You will say, What are you saying, Jackie? He left my stove. Girl, you mean you're not going to pieces? He's kept me. He's taken the roof off my house, blew my bed in the alley somewhere, but he left the stove and the ice boxes there. Why don't y'all come over and get some deed? See what I mean? You keep his commandments, he'll keep you.
This is very interesting because before Jackie died, I was visiting her and her dear mother, who has also passed on. Before she died, I went by to see her and I was getting ready to leave, and she was looking kind of distraught, and she said to me, "John, John." And I said, "What is it?" And she said, in a kind of a disturbing voice, "I'm dying." And I recall how I responded to her. I said, "Through all the years that I've preached to you, so what's difficult about that? You're dying. All of us die. I don't feel sad. I mean, if you're dying," I didn't say this, but I was thinking, "I'm going to miss you, your smile, your food, your laughter. But I don't understand this fear in your face when you tell me that you're dying." Now, with that in mind, let's continue to listen to this 1986 all the way to 2017. I'm trying to get something into you people's head. If you are not following these kinds of dictates every day of your life, you may not believe it. You may own mansions, money. You may own the bank. You may be rich as President Trump. I got to tell you guys something. If you are not in connection with the Spirit of God that I'm talking about, all of that in our lives are just here for a moment. 73 years, I remember when I was a kid in the projects, walking around with there was no grass outside of our apartment, nothing but dirt and rocks, and I'm walking around with no shoes, with a pair of shorts and a striped t-shirt. I remember it in living color, way back in the Will Rogers Projects, where I was raised. Now let's continue to listen to this lecture, and maybe you can possibly pick up an idea as to why PJ, Pastor John, retired, but always a pastor, does what he does.
But people that do not have a stabilized relationship in God has no kind of stability in their lives. Amen. Let's continue to move down. I said that we are His and He is ours, and that's why we keep them, because they will keep us. Second point. First one was, we cannot worship our master without keeping his laws. The second point is, God is the one from whence all of these laws proceed. Why do I keep them?
Now, you notice what I'm doing again, friends. I'm outlining. For those of you that want to be Bible teachers, you have people sitting in front of you that want to study the Word of God. They want to live right. They want to be right to their parents that are getting old. They don't want to just put them in a cold rest home. They want to do the right thing. They love their loved ones. They're human beings. They may be white, black, Hispanic, Asian in this wonderful country of ours that seems to be going to hell. They may be that indeed, but they are humans. And God owes them life too. Now, if you don't embrace this that I said in 1986, with where we are in 2017, your future does not look like mine is looking.
They don't come from the pastor. God forbid if anybody would ever come to church. I said it this morning, I'll say it again. God forbid if you ever come to church and say, "I have to keep it because John says it. I am mortal man, I'm going to drop dead one day." But God's law will never drop dead. It'll always be existent.
Right.
I said that God is the one from whence the law proceeds. Mm-hmm. Therefore, if we understand this important fact, we are sure to abide in His promise.
Right.
You've got to know that it comes from God and not just from the preacher's mind. It's not a whimsical interpretation, Charles, of my fantasy and my study at home.
Right.
It's not something that I put together to try to pack the wall Sunday night.
Yes.
If we ever come here on a Sunday night service and this place is packed, I'd have to check whether I'm at the right address and say, "Wait a minute, what's going on here?" That's not the point. Now, thou, look what it says right here. Before we get down to that, it says, these commandments, I said, come from God, because in verse 2, right here it says, and His commandments, which I command thee. They're His commandments, not which the preacher commands you. Preacher can tell you to sell chicken dinners. You tell him to show you that in the holy law. Charles. When they say, we're going to have a fashion contest to see who is the prettiest. Now, the lady that was with you today, she had on a pretty blue dress and a pretty hat, didn't she? She was a knockout. Now, wouldn't that be something if I said, we're going to have a beauty contest to see who dresses the best in Olivet? Did you know that you wouldn't be able to find anywhere to set jacket? All your friends, everybody would put on their best piece of rags and come in here. And if we wasted 45 minutes trying to find out who dressed the best, that would be Pastor John's command and not God. Right. It says, which I command thee. God has said it. If it's his rule, that means that his rule is based on a condition. It is based on the condition that it's his rule, he expects us to keep it. If man is not keeping the rule of God, that means that that man has no relationship or correlation with God. His rule or his commands proceed from him, therefore they are of divine origin and not temperamental, whimsical interpretation.
Amen. That's it. That's it.
Sometimes people say, well, to me it means this. Yeah. It always has to be, what does it mean in the mind of God?
Yes.
God says, I'm the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. In another part in the book of Isaiah, I believe, he says, I am God and I change not.
Yeah.
God never changes. He's always consistent. He remains that way. Third point, his rule is for the life of all of my kind, K-I-N-E, not K-I-N-D. His rule is the rule of all life of my kind.
All humans.
Humankind.
Yeah.
And we see that when it says, thou and thy son's sons.
Yes, that's right.
I'm telling you, verse 2 is packed. James, you can preach 3 sermons from verse 2. If I took each point, I could preach an hour sermon on each point. It would really bore you to death. But you can expand on that. But he says, my rule is for humankind. If you are in the family of man, you're the one in question that can keep his rule.
Hmm.
He's not talking with animals. He's not talking with Martians. He's talking with earthlings. The covenant is to every generation. That's what he's saying. This holy writ is about 5,000 years ago when Moses penned this, when God gave this to Moses to pen.
Listen to this.
5,000 years ago. Here we are. It is still in force today.
Even
because
today.
We are individual human beings that can worship the Almighty God.
I love him.
The Jews understand this unique relationship and revelation.
Yeah.
Since the Jews understood it, you can understand it too.
Yes.
God did not make a mistake. God has never made a mistake. Now, look, let me get into that. Hi, Anthony. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. All right, we're on verse 2.
Do you know what that means? It means that Anthony, and I still correspond with Anthony, that Anthony is just now coming into the lecture. I've been lecturing all this time, and this man, but this man's wife was not a believer in the same sense that he was. This man came out of, we worked together in the city of Los Angeles years ago. Anthony finished his 30-year tour, finally got a full retirement, took his money, bought a brand new home in Las Vegas. I don't believe he's any longer with his wife. He couldn't take it any longer. Doing healthily, very well. I saw him a few months ago. This is the Anthony that I'm speaking about on this portion right here. We both worked at Parker Center in the police building. And Anthony was a light technician, meaning that in that huge glass house is what they called it, he and his friend Ron had to keep all the lights going, all in the city hall area. That's all they did, is replace lights. Can you believe that? They replaced lights. Anthony stayed with the city and went on into, I forget what department he worked for. But he finished. And he would come in my Bible studies late. We were the best of friends. We would argue. Even up until the time when I stopped doing Bible studies in my home here, Anthony would come out to the house and hear me teach Bible. Now, here he is walking in my Bible study in 1986. Keep it in mind, this is 2017. You know, I love doing these things because, oh, let's continue to listen.
If the Jews understood when God says in verse 2, this rule of law is for you and your son's sons, the Jews understood that it was for them to pass on to every generation within their family. And the same holds true for us as Christians today.
That stopped. Here in 2017, we don't pass on these Christian things to our children, because the best way to influence them with these ideas is to take them to church. But if you take them to a church today, they do not hear preaching like this. They do not. My daughters went to church with me up until they left our house. It would be unseemly that my daughters would not go to church with their parents. Unheard of. Of course, there was, I think, one time when either Leslie or Delia said something to me about they didn't want to go to church, and I asked why, and my wife looked at me and said, John. And I knew then to keep my mouth shut. But that only happened once, maybe twice. But it's unheard of to think that my children would not want to go to church with their father. That's why I made that statement. When you pass on God's laws and the influence of God to your children, and mind you, I would feel ashamed if my children were going to a church where they would not hear preaching like this. I just would.
When we look at God's law as a rule of life, we know that it is for us. We said that we can't worship him unless we keep his law. We said that God is the one from whence the law or the source of that proceeds.
All right, I guess it's time for me to turn this tape over. You know what? And I was so grateful that I had somebody tape recording these events. Let's keep going. All right. Here we are.
Seeds. And then we also say that his rule is the rule of life for all of humankind. I am obligated to keep his law. He says it is for you and your son and your son's sons. The Jews understood that unique relationship. Why don't Christians do that today? How many of you that are Christians today really say, well, Christ is good enough for me, but it's not good enough for my offspring? Christ is good enough for me, but it's not good enough for the people that I work with. Christ is good enough for me, but he's not good enough that I'm going to go beyond the limit and talk about him sometimes instead of talking about what the Chicago Bears are doing or something.
Now, that doesn't mean that you take out your Bible and start whipping it over people's heads. This is how, because in our lectures we spoke about that, during the sermons I try to give it to, it means like this. There was a young man that came by my house yesterday to visit, and I asked him not to visit again. Because when I set him down in the little patio thing that I'm building out there in the back, and I asked him a question, I said, how long have you been on drugs? And he told me, and I said, and when do you plan to get off of them and so that you can start living a life that has meaning? You know what another young man told me? Because after I asked him that, he gets up and leaves. He just walks away. And another young man told me, John, you can't reach him. I know what you're trying to do. He said, but you can't reach him. His mind is gone. That is the first time in my life that I have ever heard that term before, when a young black man speaks of his peer, a person in his age bracket, saying that his mind is a machine. It's gone. And that boy was nothing but skin and bone, walking the streets of Los Angeles. Oh, don't worry about, hey, listen, don't worry about me. If anything, I heard on the news, old man, old black man, 74 years old in Cincinnati, got shot in the head. A man just going down the street, driving down the street in his car, pulled out a gun, shot the a black man, did it. Black man shot a black man right in the head. Decimated his family. We're living in perilous times. We have to pay attention to what? God's word.
Christ is good enough for me that I am so excited about him that he has so purposed my life and have become the rule of my life that I am governed by his dictates. No, most Christians are not like that today.
Correct.
These folks are like Christians on Sunday and God help you on Monday. You don't know what you're looking at. You look at some kind of freak of nature, some kind of new creation.
Right, right.
What happened to you, man? You were so full of the Holy Spirit Sunday and Monday, you are something else.
Yep.
When we speak about his rule as a rule of all of my kind, I'm saying that the intent of God even lasts today.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think like the skeptics think that, well, it was all right to worship God 2,000 years ago. It was all right to be a Christian back in the 30s when we were going through the Depression. But now we're living in the 1980s. We're getting ready to, my God, this is the last Sunday of 1986. I'm telling you, God's rule is just as sure and just as complete for the people of our city, of your town, and your house today as it was back 5,000 years ago when these words were uttered. Let's come down to number 5 of our 6-point outline here. Number 5, speaking of verse 2, is that God's law and rule last forever. False religion doesn't last forever. New so-called Christian doctrines that come up will not last forever. Christian fads will not last forever. Hypocritical relationships will not last forever, but God's rule and law will last forever. And for those of us that are going to be here just for maybe 60 or 70 years, we're going to disappear off the scene. But if his rule and law is abiding in our life, we will live forever. I mentioned in passing this morning the TV series Fame, where they have a theme that says, we're going to live forever. Well, Christians are really the only ones that are going to live forever. Because all facts are going to change, all situations are going to change, but holiness with God never changes. And the fact of our job is to get people to understand that we are obligated to live that way for our Christ.
I got to say this right now, because I was wondering about what I said about lasting forever. Christians are the only ones that's going to... I was wrong. See, I listened very critical at myself, because I did not believe that the God that I worship and serve, listen, the God of life, even life after my body dies, it lives on. And excuse me, other people from other faiths have the same hope in God that I have. And to disparage them in a way that I did in that line that I just said, that was the influence, the corruptible influence of corruption Christianity that had begun to seep into my mind. When God called me to speak for him, he did not call me to belittle other men's faiths. Because now, as a wise pastor, not as a compromising one, because I still need not, love not, want not mammon. Money corrupts. And I've learned how to do better with less money, listen to me, than more. I do not understand why a man of God is so damn greedy for money. If God has given that man of God his divine spirit and the unction enough to speak with any human being around the world on this globe, because that's who's listening to me. I get a letter now and then. That's the God that I worship. I want you people that are listening to me now to listen to me speaking back in the day and then bring it up to today and then ask this question. Are you in tune with that same God? with that same God. Don't tell me that you can't do it, because if you did it like that, you wouldn't get ahead in life. If you did it like that, your friends wouldn't like you. My studio door is open. If anyone is in this house, they hear and see what I'm doing. Nothing has changed.
God's law lasts forever. Look at verse 2. It says, all the days of thy life, however long I exist, God's law has rule in my life.
Yes.
I never reach a point in my Christian life where I say it doesn't apply. Well, it's Christmas time now. It's time to celebrate. It's time to break out the champagne, to let my hair down, to do my thing. After all, Charles, I have to enjoy myself. God has placed me in the most beautiful city on the planet here. Well, Michael would say New York is, but I would differ with Mike on that. But God has placed me here in this time to have fun in my life. I'm telling you that God has placed believers here to live obedient to him every day of your life. And when the world is going crazy out there living in sin, God is saying, how dare you do that? Are you keeping the rule of my life? Does the rule of my life cause you to live in a particular way? That's what he's saying. Let's come down to our fifth and last point of this very short but very important sermon. God will provide time to carry out his divine plan. My God will provide time to carry out the divine plan. Let me read the whole verse again. That thou mightst fear the Lord thy God, to keep all of his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, you and your son and his sons, all the days of your life, that thy days may be prolonged. Now, let me tell you what this does not mean. This does not mean that if you keep all of God's statutes that he has given you, carte blanche on long life. This does not mean that if you keep his rule to the T, to the maximum, Charles, that you are promised 99 and a half years. I mean, you know, hey, I'll tell you again, I don't think I want to live to be 99 and a half years old, because, Michael, you'd have to come from New York and wheel me around in a wheelbarrow. I mean, I'd be, whoa, real bent over. My body's going to break down. I'm going to go to pieces. That's the way it is. And let me give you Christian assistance so that you can realize why this process is taking place. When Adam and Eve were placed in the Garden of Eden, they were placed there as eternal creatures. They were in an eternal state, never to die, never to decay. They were created beautiful, handsome, strong. They would live forever. They were eternal creatures. And God told them, everything I tell you to do, you do it. And that particular fruit right there, and by the way, it wasn't an apple. Sure wasn't. We don't know what it was. All right, he said, but that particular fruit right there, don't you eat of that one. For the day you eat of it, decay sets in. Now here we are. I became a Christian in 1967, all right? All right, decay is still having its effect. I'm 42, and I'm getting older and older. And when I'm 52, I'm not going to look like Anthony. You know this. When I'm 52, I'm not going to look. I remember Anthony 10 years ago. He didn't look like that. Anthony was slimmer, had a little bit more muscle showing. Anthony now is turning into middle age. He's changing. It's going to happen to you. This is not something telling you that if you come to God and keep all of his statutes, you are going to look like Apollo. No, you're not. You're going to look like you are 20 years from now, but a little bit worse. All those muscles are going to turn to flab. We know that. But God will provide the time in your life to carry out his plan. It says, that thy days may be prolonged. For what purpose? Why would God want to prolong your days, Charles, since it doesn't mean just for longevity itself? He wants to prolong your days, and so that you as a believer can evangelize. Why would he tell them to give it to their sons and their sons' sons and their sons' sons? There's only one reason that the Jews were supposed to do that. They were supposed to be tools or vessels to manifest the one God theory. Because when the Jews were placed in a pagan world, here it is. I'm going to go way back now. Abraham is way down in his homeland down there. And you know, Abraham's people were sun worshipers. God called Abraham and says, hey, take your wife, take all your possessions, and get out of here. I'm going to show you a land that's flowing with milk and honey, and where you can worship me, the one God. Now, when Abraham started to do that, and say, hey, he was looking for a country whose building and maker was God, who God would show him the land flowing with milk and honey. The man was the father of the faithful because he believed God. Now here we see the offspring of Abraham getting some commandments from Moses. And now God is saying, Moses, tell them to teach it to their sons and their sons' sons and on down through every generation. Why? For the sake of evangelism. Here we are in 1986. We are hearing what Moses was giving them. And I'm telling you that have parents and you that are responsible believers, that you are responsible to share this. For what purpose would he prolong your life? For evangelism. For what cause does he prolong your life? His cause, not your cause. It's always his. I am his vessel. Now don't limit that to the pulpit. You are his vessel if you're a believer. He expects you to do something. Too many Christians come to church and say, let me hear that dynamic preacher. Oh, preacher, you're doing it. Hey, man, the question is, what are you doing? Because when the preacher goes home and get on his phone, when the preacher goes home and opens his books, when the preacher goes to work the next day, because this preacher yet works, what is he doing? You should be doing what he's doing. His cause is your cause. He prolongs your life always for his cause, and the cause is always his, not yours. I don't feel like it. Charles, you know, some Christian says, Sunday's over, brother, that's it. I close up my book until Sunday morning. Close up the book, man. Hey, Sunday's over, brother. Monday is mine. Tuesday is fine. Wednesday, I shine. Thursday, my wine. Friday is my day. Hey, Saturday is payday, and Sunday, I'll go there and get on my knees again and go through the motions. God doesn't hear you. You're not his. Every day, all the cause is his. For what result will he prolong your days? For what result? For salvation, for praise, for glory. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. The Jews knew that. That's why when they built the temple and the tabernacle, they just praised for the whole day. And God manifested his beauty to them. Through what means? It says that thy days may be prolonged. Through what means will our days be prolonged? Then I'm finished with this. Through what means? Through a people that will hear his commands, that will keep his statutes, that will study his word, and only through those people. God will not fulfill his promise to man through a lazy, irresponsible people that can care less but about arguing a point. You know what? God doesn't want to hear your points of argument. God wants to see your life. He says, no, if you don't know what that means, don't worry about that. Do you know what this means? Keep my commandments. Are you doing that? Well, I'm not doing that. Well, don't worry about what that means. Because if you're not keeping his commandments, it doesn't matter whether you know what that means. The bottom line is keeping his commandments. Now, this is it. This is the question as we end up. Are you those people that he's talking to? For the 8 more weeks on Sunday night that we hit the rest of these 9 verses here, I want you to keep that in mind for those of you that come out. Are you those people that God is going to use to talk about his law? Will you become the challenge to other people to obligate themselves? And I'm talking about Christians within this church family. Will you do as your pastor asked you to do on the watch night service? Bring a non-Christian. You're obligated to do that. I'm telling you, when the new year comes in, people are going to be celebrating the new year's in the craziest ways. And I hope to God that we don't know some of them that's going to lose their lives out there trying to have fun. Why not bring somebody to the house of God so that they can hear about the one thing that's going to get them ready for eternity, and that is God's law. That's our job. God's law, the rule of life, verse 2. And let me say this as I am. These are very short messages, but we like to share these messages with you. We don't want you to forget them. If you want a copy of this message, talk to me after the sermon. It's yours, absolutely free. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Father, we thank you. We thank you for the preached word. We thank you for the law that you've given. We thank you, Lord, that this law can govern the way we live. Heavenly Father, what we ask you to do now is to use us. Those of us that claim to know you, use us, Lord, as spreaders of the law. Not the law, Lord, in the legalistic sense that I must keep this or be damned, but the law that says to love the Lord my God with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, all my spirit, all my being, Lord.
Yes.
And in loving you, you can transform me.
Yes.
Lord, let me become a transformed individual that shares a life of transformation with others.
Yes, yes.
Bless those that are here to hear this. Yes. Bless those that took the time to come out tonight.
Yes.
And Lord, may their coming be of great value.
Yes.
Bless our church, Lord, and strengthen us as we look forward to our watch night service this coming Wednesday. Strengthen us, Lord, that we may come out in fellowship, love, and praise you. We ask it all in Christ's name for his sake. Amen.
Wow. Let me see how I end this.
Hi, this is Pastor Coleman there at Olivet. I hope that the law of the Lord has become the rule of your life. If this law has truly become a rule of your life, every day of your life you live for him. We at Olivet would like to help you live for him in a closer way. And the only way that we will be allowed to do that is that if you communicate back to us what these short 30-minute Sunday night messages are doing for you. We'd like to hear, I'd love to hear from you there at Olivet. Why don't you write me at Olivet? We're at 976 East Jefferson Boulevard in the city of Los Angeles.
No longer there. The building is about ready to be demolished. As a matter of fact, I will put a picture of the building up. I'll try to put it up when I put this thing up. Let's continue to listen here.
If you'd like to attend our night services, after you've attended your own daytime services, we'd be glad to have you come out every Sunday night, 7:30 till about 8 o'clock.
Did you hear me tell them that they could come out to the night service after they've already attended their own? I never try to pick up other members from other people's church. That's it. The crassy preachers do that too.
8:15, something like that. We fellowship a little bit. God bless you. This is Pastor John asking that your life might be one where you follow the law of the Lord. Join us next week as we continue with verse 3 of Deuteronomy chapter 6. This tape has been another of the Point 8 Tape Ministry, which is an outreach of evangelism used by the Olivet Baptist Church. God bless you.
I was 42, man. I was 42 years old. I'm now 73. Wow. That kind of like makes you take your heads up, huh? Who's that playing? That's Mirror, not the band, I think. That was back in the day. I remember that. I had the album. Oh, and I used to love this piano. Listen. Yeah. Well, I hope you guys really enjoy listening, and that's what I'll be doing as I go through these archive tapes. I see a lot of people are coming to my website, and I'm glad that you are. That means you are obviously hearing something that you need to hear. I hope that I'm assisting you true Christians out there that are looking for an American, an African-American way to do your faith. Oh, that was nice. I like that. And guess what? See, now I have the tape in my hand, right? And after I put it up on the website, what I do is I take the tape and I rip it, the cassette tape, because it's going up on the World Wide Web. Now, thank you for coming to my site. I look forward to spending more time with you as we go through these archive sermons. Let me know what you think if they're blessing you, okay? Take care.